verse today, and we're saddened that this is going to be Matthew Gavinus's last Sunday with us. He's brought new life and joy to our congregation in the year that he spent here as a student. And Matthew, after we have the invitation song, before we are dismissed, why don't you lead us in the song so we have that memory of you leading the singing for us again. And we hope that he returns after finishing his degree at A&M main campus and goes to medical school here. We're looking forward to having you back. It's my privilege to introduce the speaker today. He is a very close friend and a wonderful fellow minister, and he actually becomes more important to me because there are fewer and fewer of our age group still around that we can enjoy each other's company. Jim Middleton is a graduate of the University of Houston. He was the editor of the school paper there when he was a student, and has continued in his journalistic talents. He probably has written more tracts and studies of the Bible than any man I know. If you were to go to the Northwest Church of Christ in Houston, you'd see just racks of his writings, and he's always very good. He spent a total of about 48 years at Northwest?
52. So 42 continues, then 5 years I began full-time work was in 1971, then in 76 I went to Lindale, and then they had little enough sense to invite me back in 1981. I was there until I retired at the end of 23.
So the Northwest Church of Christ has had him as their preacher for all those years, and he's done a great work, and he's a good student of the Bible, faithful gospel preacher. For those of you who are visiting, our song leader today is Stephen Middleton, who is his son. And Stephen is a member, and Cindy are members here. And Stephen also preaches and is a song leader and a wonderful friend of mine. And I had heard how good a song singer Cindy is, but this is the first time she sat behind me, and usually they sit sort of three-fourths of the way back, and people talk about what a beautiful voice she has, but I got to experience it today, and I wish that they would sit with Amy on the second row all the time. And before I let Jim speak, I want to introduce to you his wife, who's been his faithful companion all these years. Tommy, stand up so people know who you are. This is Tommy, his wife, and she's been a very helpful minister's wife all these years. And when Jim goes back, I want you to go back at the back and so everybody can meet you, okay, Tommy? Well, we're glad to have Jim Middleton speak for us.
Thank you so much for that introduction, and thank you so much, Brother Allen, for being my friend, a faithful minister of the work here. This congregation has meant so much to me and to the Northwest Church. Many times we've had retreats when we've come to Galveston, and you've allowed us to be here. So grateful to you for allowing me to speak this morning. We actually came down, our son and daughter-in-law have bought tickets so that we can see the historic home shows. That we see some of those. So I'm going to be speaking about what the Bible has to say, and there's a lot of it about home, house, and the various ways that that's applied metaphorically in God's Word. But I want to say something not only about Brother Allen that I love so very much, but about Amy. Amy, now I call her Amy Laws because I knew her folks for so long. Amy Davis is what you know her by. She's been her friend so very, very long. You may not know this, and I don't think Amy has shared it with you, but she lost her brother just a few days ago, Dr. James Laws. And so we don't have any idea what the arrangements are going to be. He's going to be cremated, so she'll share that with you later. But I know that I can share that with this congregation. And Amy, if I'm not mistaken, that was your last blood relative in this world. And so her family now is really with this wonderful and caring congregation, the Broadway Church of Christ. And I met some of you this morning that may be considering finding a church home here on the island. And I can't find a better place in the world for you to be than right here. Wonderful spot, wonderful people, wonderful family. And of course, an outstanding minister. Brother Isbell is my second favorite attorney. Now, Amy teases him by saying he's her second favorite minister. You may ask, who's number one? And that's Jesus Christ. You come over to the book of 1 John, begin that second chapter, and it says, I'm writing these things to you so that you don't sin. Now, that's the King James Middleton paraphrase, that you sin not. And if any man sin, and in context, in keeping with the first chapter where it said, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. It means when we sin, we have an advocate and his own retainer. Now, that's not in the book either, but it's there. And he has what it takes to get us out of trouble and make us perfect in the eyes of God. He is the propitiation for our sins. But in this world, if I had a legal problem, that's the man that I would be contacting. And especially we're thankful because he can take us through the book, which, you know, we talk against legalism, but the book is, after all, a legal document. I mean, it's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's God's will. Now, the judge stands above and beyond the law, and he can do whatever he wants. And I'm not going to argue with him, but what we have to go by as ministers is to tell you what the book says. Stick with the law of God, the wonderful, perfect law of liberty that we look into. Speaking about homes and speaking about what Amy has lost and her brother, who was a faithful member of the Lord's church, Dr. James, we always remember what Jesus said, of course, in John, that 14th chapter, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, I know that can be translated many places, but a place with the Lord is a mansion in every sense beyond what we think of here. And Jesus said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, my earlier imagination was he went up there and got a bunch of angels with golden hammers and nails and started building houses. But I think what he was really saying, I'm going to the cross. Because if he didn't go to that cross, there'd be no place for us. But he did. And therefore, there is a place for me. Place for James. Place for you. And that's a wonderful thought as we think about, we view all these beautiful homes here on the island. I know one just recently burned down, if I remember, but there's a lot of them. We look at them and we glory in that. Anybody here ever been to the so-called summer cottages in Newport, Rhode Island? They belong to the robber barons. Amazing thing. One called the Breakers, I think it's over 50,000 square foot. They're made, and one of them, lady had a whole room made of gold. Brought it over to the United States and had it put back together. We're talking about the you know, the Vanderbilts and the Morgans and people like that. We have something better in Jesus Christ. because God is the architect of the mansion that we're looking for. I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians, actually the end of chapter 4, the 18th verse says, while we look not upon the things that are made, but upon the things that are not made. Because the things that are made are temporary, and the things that are not made are eternal. With that in mind, with the type of vision that we're talking about, the vision of faith, then we come over to chapter 5, and it says we walk by faith and not by sight. And some people say, well, we have blind faith. It's not blind. It's not visual, but it is based on the testimony of the people that saw Jesus, that touched him. As John would say, we touched him, we looked at him, and so we have good testimony. And I'm sure our attorney here could tell you that testimony is what we have. And what I've got here in my hand, depositions, if you will, from those who saw Jesus and were with him. And we have reason, therefore, not looking through our eyes, but looking through the testimony of those to see what Paul is writing about in 2 Corinthians when he said, if, and in a way, it's not if, but when, our earthly house, we're talking about our body, of this tabernacle is dissolved. We have another home, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Many times when I think about our body, I think about the comparison Jesus made to the temple when he said, you destroy this temple. And we know he was talking about his body because it says that. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. And we're going to, 1 Corinthians 15 makes it very clear. The Greek word is soma. Over and over and over, we're going to have some kind of a body. We're not going to float around like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I don't know what it, don't ask me what it's going to be. That's beyond me. But we're going to have some kind of a body, but it's going to be so much better than this. But it's not going to have cancer. It's not going to get old and decrepit like me. I'm just a young man. I only turned 82 yesterday. What can I say? And I'm not going to tell you about Stephen because his birthday was the day before on May the 2nd. But here we are on May the 4th. I'm not going to say Star Wars Day, but you know what I'm talking. Here we are today in that. How much longer will I be here? I don't know. But I know I'm going to be leaving this world, and you are too. I've done more funerals than anything. I used to do a lot of weddings, now a lot of funerals. And I always tell the people, because funerals are for the people that are living, not for the one that's in the casket or the urn before us. You're temporary. You're terminal. So am I. We're here for a little while, and if the Lord delays his coming, he better come pretty soon for our sake. We're going to be going, but we've got another home, another place where we can be. And God is the architect. These beautiful houses that we have, and one of the metaphors, and there are so many of them that we could talk about, homes and houses and the body that we've already mentioned, but the church itself. One of the beautiful pictures that we have is from Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, where Isaiah wrote, it'll come to pass in the last days. By the way, the last days are our days. I know that because Acts, the 2nd chapter, the Apostle Peter said, this is that the prophet Joel wrote. And the first thing that Joel said was, it'll come to pass in the last days. Well, Isaiah said, the mountain of the Lord's house, it's going to be established in the top of the mountains, exalted above the hills. All nations will flow into it. And they're going to say, come ye, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God from Jerusalem. And I know what that means, because the Apostle Paul wrote again, when he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, Paul said, I hope to come to be with you soon. This I hope, right? But if I tarry, you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar like the mountain, and the ground of the truth. There are 6 couplets that come right after that, but hey, I'm restricted by time. I mean, at my age, I don't even buy day-old bananas. So I'm not going to keep you here. I don't even like bananas. But anyway, just kind of threw that in. The church is God's beautiful house. at the congregational level, at the universal level. What a wonderful thing it is that we have brothers and sisters who we can count on in this world when we lose those that we love, like Amy has lost her brother. We can come together, and I enjoyed shaking your hands this morning. I met one brother who spent most of his lifetime, not all of it yet, but a lot of his lifetime in the Navy and working in other places. How wonderful it is. I hope you can find this place as your home. I'm sure if you do that you will. I met a sister who was there with me at Northwest so many years ago, and then she moved down here to the island. And all of you that I met, Brother Armando that I met and talked one of my bad Spanish to him, we are family. You are my brothers and sisters. I think that's a great thing here and now. And even better tomorrow. What a beautiful home that is. By the way, Jesus is the foundation. You've got to have a good foundation for these homes. They're not going to last. Of course, you're familiar with Matthew, the 16th chapter. You come to Caesarea Philippi. That's where Banias is. Banias is where the Jordan River is. Caesarea Philippi. I could talk a lot about that. If I don't stop distracting myself, I'll go on too long. At any rate, Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets." And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, who was always quick to speak, he didn't always say the right thing. Neither do I. "You're the Christ," said it right that time. "You're the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "You're blessed." "Thank you, Simon, son of Jonah. And I say unto you, Peter." Now, Peter, I could go into arguments from the languages that that's a stone. It's not the stone on which the church is built. When Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost and gathered that church together, that the gates of death itself did not prevail against. Now, the gates of hell won't prevail against it, but really, it's the gates of death, because Jesus came forth from the grave. Peter didn't preach. Peter, who did he preach? Jesus Christ. He's the one that said the gates did not prevail against him because he's risen. We've seen him. We've touched him. He shed forth this miracle of the Holy Spirit speaking in these tongues. And you yourself know that he did all these things, miracles among you, and gathered the people together. And just in case there's any doubt about what the foundation is, in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Paul wrote, "According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another," that's like me, like Brother Allen, and like Apollos and Peter, "builds their own. But let every man watch out, take heed where he builds their own. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In performing marriages, I always like to go to Jesus talking about building a home. And I like the way Luke recorded in Luke 6:48. And he said about the wise man, "He's like a man which built a house." And I like this part, and I think it's so important. He digged deep, built that house on the rock. I'd like to tell you, if you're a member of the Lord's church, I'd like to tell you, if you're thinking about getting married — we've only been married for 63 years now, or will be on July the 27th. If you're thinking about that, I'd like to tell you that if you do, everything's going to be fine and wonderful and dandy. There's not going to be any hurricanes. There's not going to be any tornadoes. There's not going to be any floods. There's not going to be any storms. You know better, don't you? And Jesus didn't promise that. He said the rains are going to come. They're going to beat on that house. And the winds are going to blow. They're going to blow on that house. But if it's built on that rock, it'll stand. And it has stood. And your homes can stand. Now, I'd like to tell you that my wife and I have never had any argument, but they kind of frown on lying. I've had people who've told me, we've never had any argument. All right. Oh, good for you. My middle name is Thomas, and I don't believe it. But what can I say? It can stand. It can stand the weather, the pressure, and all of that trouble, and go forward. Let's talk about building a home. That's what the kids like, and they've sing that song, "The Wise Man Built His House on the Rock." What they really like is the other part of the story of the foolish man that built his house on the sand, and how it goes boom. Worthy materials. Again, we go to First Corinthians, the third chapter, where Paul said, "We're fellow workers, God's husband, and according to the grace of God given to me as a wise builder, I laid that foundation." And then verse 12, "But if any man builds on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work will be made manifest, for the day will declare it." When we're talking about the day, is going to declare it when the trouble comes. Not if, but when it comes. "Because it's revealed in fire, and the fire itself will prove each man's work." In other words, what can't be burned away, what can be refined and proved, it's going to stand. Brother Isbell and I and other ministers, our responsibility is to take what Jesus and Paul and the apostles laid for us and left a deposition and use that material to help you, to build you up, and to help you and me to stand in the day of trouble. And I like to tell, I don't like to tell people, but Jesus said, John 16:33, "In this world, you're going to have trouble. But he also said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome. And so can we. And with God's help and using the right material, you can." By the way, I don't care how big your house is, if you built it on the wrong stuff, ill-gotten gains. I have a back at the second chapter in laid down here. And you know, when I began to look about putting this lesson together, I could go on and on. There's so much in God's word about building our home together, not using the wrong material, but the right material. But let's move on. Inspection. How many of you have ever sold a home or bought a home? Can I just see the hand? You know, you got to have the inspection. And by the way, you know, inspecting, taking a look at it yourself is pretty important. Especially down here in the salt water. You know, that salt wind blows and you know what happens. You got to watch it. James 1:25, talking about inspecting your personal home. James said, who's going to be blessed? The man that looks at himself and inspects himself and then just goes his way. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, we're talking about God's word, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And there's work involved. In building and maintaining marriages, in building and maintaining your Christianity. Of course, we're always encouraging people to get started, to get into the baptistry, to get wet, and to come up, to live in a newness of life. You've got to get started. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. And you've got to keep inspecting that house and looking and doing what you need to do. And by hearing the advice, one of the advantages of having brothers and sisters, to watch your back and your front. And it's one thing to say, oh, you're just that's the most wonderful lesson I ever heard. Don't change a word. I was actually the editor, by the way, of the Dateline. Went back to school at the University of Houston downtown. Learned a lot. Actually, I learned more in doing the newspaper than I did in any other class that I ever took as the editor. But at any rate, one thing I found out is editing is very important. My secretary, for all those years, cleaned up my articles that I wrote. Everybody needs an editor. Ernest Hemingway said there's no such thing as good writing. There's only good rewriting. With computers, it makes it so much easier than it used to be. But we have to do that in our life. We have to keep editing. And Ephesians 4:15 says, we got to speak the truth, the love, one to another, that we may grow up in him. And brethren, if anybody errs from the truth, let the one that convert him know that he saved a soul from death and covered a multitude of sins, James 5 and 20. How important it is that we tell each other the truth. And when I'm making a mistake, tell me. And a real friend, all the way back to Proverbs, is one who tells you when you need to make a change. Furnishings. A lot of these houses we're looking at, wonderful furnishings that they have. Well, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, I know you know that one. Every scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Many times we think that preaching I don't know if you've ever heard this, Brother Allen, probably have. What we need is more hellfire and damnation sermons. Well, that's usually to be poured on other people. Well, and we do need to make the corrections and to get rid and clean up our act. But it's not just I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls that do. What do you do? And it's not just what you remove, it's what you put in it. Jesus, well, Matthew 12 is one of the places where he said, if a man, a woman gets an unclean spirit cast out, and that spirit wanders around and he comes back and takes another look at that body where it's been, and he finds that house empty, swept, and garnished, he takes seven spirits even more wicked than him, and the latter end is worse than the beginning. Find about the second, same thing if you look at 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, and see what happens if you turn away from the truth. You don't keep up the maintenance on it. Then the latter end is worse than the beginning. Now we come to maintenance. They say in preacher school, don't dangle the skeleton of your outline. But you'll probably be happy to know that this is the last point that I've got in my lesson. And they will also tell you 6 points is too many, but nevertheless, that's what I've got. We know, of course, that a house divided can't stand. And so we need to practice, and we got to work at it in unity. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 1, Paul said, I'm the prisoner of the Lord, and I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another, and give diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he talks about this unity. One body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope, you're called in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God who's above all, over all, and in you all. And you need to add 1 chapter, for this very cause, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then above all, that love. Because if those things are in your house, you're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful. You're going to be the type of house that God wants you to be. There'll be corrections always. There'll be inspection always. But you've got help with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you'll make it through. I intended to find out the author of that great poem, The Chambered Nautilus. Everyone know what a chambered nautilus is? One of those shells that you find, spirals around, and as it gets bigger, it builds bigger and bigger houses. And the last of that poem says, build you the statelier mansions, oh my soul. But finally, and what's that invitation song number again?
692.
692?
Yes, sir.
692. Get that ready. We're going to stand in just a moment, and we're going to invite you. The Lord's invitation is always open, but we always give you the opportunity. If we can help you this morning by coming forward and to be baptized, perhaps, or to study more about God's Word, or to get identified with a great congregation, this would be a great time to do it. But I want to close with Joshua, the 24th chapter, where Joshua said, you got to make a choice. As he's He's getting ready to retire. He's closing out. And he says to Israel, choose this day. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve the gods of these people? You see how great those gods did. You're in their house right now. You're in their land. Or Egypt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If we can help you in any way, not only while we stand and sing, but any other time, that's the reason Jesus died, and that's the reason that there is a Broadway Church of Christ. That's the reason that the church that Jesus died to build is the beautiful house that he wants you to be part of the very material of it. So I have one question. Why are you guys still sitting there? It's time. Stand on your feet. Sing the song, and in Jesus' name, we invite you to come.
Waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come calling, calling, oh.